Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, Will You Have Oil in Your Lamp When He Comes?
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about the Lord's return and our being ready for it. Are you guys ready for the Lord to return if He were to return right today? How about if it takes a while and He tarries and we have to actually endure for a good number more years, great trials, great troubles, great temptations from the tempter? Are you ready to prepare and wait for a long time yet, if it takes yet a number more years for the Lord to come? Amen. I love the answer. Well, today let's take a look at how the Lord encourages us and strengthens us for the waiting for His great return on the clouds of heaven. And to do that, I'd like to look with you especially at a parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25, which is often called the parable of the 10 virgins, or the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins, and see what God would teach us today about waiting for Him with endurance for His coming with joy. So let's read the parable to start out here in Matthew chapter 25. You know it well, but it always bears, it's important to hear again. Jesus proclaimed this. He says, "The kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" What a great parable from our Lord. And what's a parable? It's a story Jesus tells us about the kingdom of God with picture language to teach us about the truth. And so each of the things in the story represents something. So let me ask you, here's the quiz. Who is the bridegroom in the story? Jesus, right, exactly. So He's the one who is coming, and who is it who's waiting for Him? In this case, it's virgins or maidens. Who is it in reality? The church, everybody who's waiting for the bridegroom to come, obviously. What is the bridegroom's coming? What is the bridegroom's coming? Jesus is coming, His second coming on the clouds of heaven. Remember, it says that Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, when He came the first time, He went to the cross to save us, He will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. So the coming of the bridegroom is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is coming. He's coming to this earth very soon. What's the marriage feast? It's eternal life. It's the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God's already at work within you, but it's also coming to appear. He's bringing the kingdom to the earth, where we're waiting for heaven, of course, where we go to heaven. But it's ultimately the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells, where God dwells with His people. That's the marriage feast, where we want to enter in to the glories of strength and splendor and wonder and marvelous color and glory forevermore with the Lord, He with us in eternal life. So that's the marriage feast that He's speaking of here. And so what's the point of this parable? Is that we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord on the clouds of heaven when he comes. And it sounds like pretty much, you know, something everybody wants and everybody will want. Amen? When he comes, even those who don't get to enter want to enter. Everybody will want to enter, but not all will. What do we see in this parable? How many enter? Five get in. That's the wise. Five don't get in. Those are the foolish. So some people will enter the kingdom on that day, the door having been opened. When they're ready, they being ready, enter properly. But those who were not ready for his coming, were not looking for it, do not enter. And what a grievous day that will be. Amen? Think about that. They're standing outside knocking, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me. So the point Jesus is bringing us in this parable is to be ready for his coming and to be wise. So let's talk about being wise for a few moments and see if we can understand these things a little better. First of all, Jesus is using a story here from Jesus from Jewish culture that they would have understood in those days. Now, for us, when we get married, we have our traditions, right? But they had some different traditions. What happened in those days was in Jewish culture that weddings usually took place in the evening. And the wedding ceremony was preceded by the man, the groom-to-be, coming to the house of his bride and fetching her from her father's house and bringing her to his own house. And the betrothal usually lasted about a year. Now, you're going to learn later today during the announcements, not so much with my daughters. Both of them are planning a very quick marriage, actually, next month, as a matter of fact. I'm very happy to say. But it was a whole year in those days, a whole year. And so when the groom would come and fetch his bride from her father's house, maidens, the friends of the bride would be waiting for the groom to accompany him on his journey to get his bride and then to go back to his house and have the wedding feast. And what they would do is they would go out with lanterns. Now, in this case, I'll just have some candles with you here. You'll have to imagine them as lanterns. And the marriage ceremony was very, very beautiful because they would light the candles. They would light their lamps, and then they would meet the bridegroom and accompany him in this beautiful lit procession from his father's house to the bride's house, fetch her, and they'd be coming back lit and beautiful. What a beautiful procession. I mean, if only we had such things still in our days. It's so pretty. But the virgins in this case had to wait, and they had to wait quite some time. They didn't know when he was coming. Remember, some were ready for the bridegroom, and some were not ready when he came, and their lamps went out. So we want to be this side, right? Those who are ready, those who are lit, with our faith burning and shining and ready for the Lord. I'll put it out for the moment. So what do we need to do to be wise? Well, the first thing Jesus teaches in this parable is to make sure that we forever mark and fix in our hearts and minds his coming. He says, it says, while they went to buy, the foolish, the bridegroom came. So Jesus, our Lord, is coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It could seem as he tarries a while, like that is not going to happen, but believe me, he's coming. Jesus says to the Jewish authorities, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Can you picture that in your mind right now? When we're living on this earth, we've not seen any difference in the atmosphere for these last 2,000 years. Suddenly, the skies will rend and split apart, and down he comes, like lightning, he says, shining from the east to the west. That day is true, and it's coming quickly to an earth near you, namely this earth. So let's forever remember that. The wise will remember such things. The foolish, it'll disappear from their minds. And no one knows, secondly, when that time is coming. You know, the virgins here all fell asleep. They were waiting. They didn't know. They thought he might appear at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9. They didn't know when. They just had to be ready for his coming. And the Bible says, Jesus teaches, it's the same way with his coming. Of that day and of that hour, Jesus declares, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So it's hidden information. It's top secret clearance. Who gets to know? Whose clearance is high enough to know when that day is? Man? No. Angels? No. The devil? No. Gabriel? No. Jesus, at least in his earthly life, even? No. The Father only. Top secret clearance. He's fixed the day. He alone knows it. And so as virgins or as maidens, being wise, we need to be ready for any time. The Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour, Jesus says in another place, as a surprise, like a thief in the night. Thirdly, to be wise, we need to be ready to prepare for his coming early or his coming late. What's the case in this story? He came quite late. They got there probably at 7 o'clock because they took place in the evening. They waited, their lamps burning at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9, 10 o'clock, maybe even 11. Finally, they slumbered and slept since he tarried. And so also, our Lord's coming seems to have been delayed, doesn't it? You know, the early Christians expected him to come during their generation. If you look at the thousands in the medieval times, they expected it. Martin Luther, certainly in the 1500s, expected the Lord to come very quickly, seeing as how Antichrist had been revealed. And down through the ages, we were expecting it even more as we look at the global, the world leaders all acting in consort after ways seeming to be very evil. And so, what hour do you think we're at right now? Is it 11 o'clock, 11:30? Are you ready for the bridegroom's cry? Well, Jesus intimates here, or hints in the scriptures, it might be a while. You need to be ready to wait. For the bridegroom in this case was delayed. And in the very next verse, the very next parable, Jesus says this. He says, for it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted them his property. It's when he gave 5 talents to another, 2, and to another, 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. And then it says, now after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with him. So say those words with me. After a long time. But I gotta say, isn't 2,000 years already a long time? Could be another 1,000 years. We need to be prepared to wait. But I believe we're already living at 11 o'clock, 11:30, 11:45. We need to be ready to wait, and we need to be ready if he comes today. For Jesus says in another place, if he comes in the second or the third watch and finds them working, blessed indeed are those servants. And Peter tells us, don't ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So how many days has it been since our Lord was here the first time? According to the Lord, about 2 days. Very quick. And he rose on the third day, did he not? And so we are looking for him to come quickly. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he's forbearing towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And then what will happen? The heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire. The earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Does that sound like something you want to be ready for? I think so. So be ready, be wise, note these things. But also, they had to have their lamps lit, right? So 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise, for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. So let's light these up again here. Let's say they've been burning the whole time. They've been waiting for the bridegroom to come. But after a long time, he arrives. And what's the difference between the wise and the foolish in this case? The wise took flasks of oil with them to wait. for his coming, but the others, the foolish, took no flasks of oil with their lamps. What's the difference between the wise and the foolish? They are prepared. So obviously here we have wax, but if you have a lamp, you want lots of oil. You want to bring extra supply, ample supply, to keep the light burning, even if the bridegroom should tarry into the middle of the night. These were not so wise. They were not ready to wait. So we want to stay lit, right? Because you're the light of the world, a city set on a hill that can't be hid. Be blameless and innocent, says Paul, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Or it could be read, like stars in the night sky, you're shining. Will you be found shining at the return of the King? Well, Jesus is working today to make sure that you stay awake. For you're all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night or of darkness. So what's the difference again between the wise and the foolish? They took flasks of oil with them, but these took no oil with them. What is oil for the light of your faith? Holy Spirit's true. You can take the Holy Spirit with you. The Word of God, right? Because if we read in the Scriptures in Romans chapter 10, for faith, which is the light, which you need, which I need, till he comes from what? From what is heard, the ear, and what is heard by the word of Christ. So the encouragement for you today is, are you storing up the word of God daily to make sure that your light continues to shine until our Lord comes? That's what he's speaking to us today, especially. So we read in the Scriptures, I've laid up thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. And again in Psalm 119, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to thy word. Have you ever tried to go, and please don't, a week without the word of God? Just put aside the Bible, not come to church, not get along with other Christians, and speak with them about the word. What happens to your faith? Quickly grows dim and is ready to be extinguished, right? Father, I pray that you should keep them from the evil one, says Jesus. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. The beauty of our church, of the Lutheran church and of the Christian churches, are that we hold fast to this word. Everything's about this book. It's pouring into us daily. Jesus told Peter, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Give them oil in the flasks that they may burn brightly and stronger so, brighter and brighter until my coming. So are you storing it up today? Are you in the Word of God in your homes? Well, hide the Word of God in your heart. Fill the flask that it may be strong daily at home. You also need a preacher. How many Christians are absenting themselves from churches in these days, not filling their flasks because of this present crisis in the world? Or let's say, great excuse. Heard of the Great Reset? Well, this is the great excuse. Don't come to church on account of this. But look, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call upon him in whom they've not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And faith comes from what is heard. What is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. You need, and I need, to hear true preaching of the word. And if you do, what's happening? It's getting more and more. So you can take that flask and fill it. And every time you come to church, there's more ample supply ready to go until he comes. Then you go home and read the Scriptures daily. Look, you're going to be in absolutely great shape. Also, we need then to have the godly conversation of other Christians. Don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, Jeannie, you missed Bible study today because you're hanging out with your friends. That's okay, but I want you to know we only got one verse, so you're okay. The beauty of that, though, is that in the conversation, as we're just discussing the Word of God with each other, thousands of different ideas, really, literally, right, Michael? Thousands? Coming in different directions, and just by that organic conversation, it's encouraging everybody in the faith, and you guys are always here for that. So what we want to do is not only have the Word of God at home filling your flask, hearing true preaching, please pray for me that I give you the Word, but also that we just get together in godly conversation, because sometimes that free-flow Christian encouraging contact conversation builds our faith and makes us to burn the brighter. It puts the oil into our lamps, into our flasks. And then also, you can increase the oil in your flask simply through prayer. Ask God. Remember that father of the paralytic son who had a demon? Help, I believe, God, help my unbelief. In other words, pour more oil in. Make me stronger. He'll answer that. Increase our faith, cried the apostles. And Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts in the latter days become weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a snare. For it will come upon the face of those who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. But watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape the things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. What do you think will come in the days that are before us, in the years to come? If present courses continue, we could face great troubles, great trials, great dangers from the tempter. But if we have oil in our flasks, no problem for us. Darkness cannot stop the light, and you will shine the brighter. It's the Word of God and through prayer, filling your faith that we need. And you are wise. Let's be the wiser for it. What happens to the foolish? They don't take any oil with them. They endure for a while, as Jesus says in one of the other parables. But after a while, the bridegroom starts to come and their lamps are lamps. They're going out just as the Lord is approaching, because they didn't take extra fuel along with them. And we read, the foolish then said to the wise, please give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. The wise then said to the foolish, perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. What do we learn by this is that you can't be saved by somebody else's faith. You can't just expect your parents to go to church or whatever. I'm looking at you, I'm thinking most of your parents are probably already in heaven. But you can't get the faith on somebody else's, you can't get to heaven by someone else's faith. It's your own flask that you need to fill. You can't go and ask someone else to fill yours. You need to go to the dealers. And so the wise were right in saying, go to the dealers and buy. But what's the problem if you wait until the very latter days and neglect this? Is that when they go to buy, the shops may very well be closed at that time. Because will there be time to run to your Bible at the end? Or to run to church and hear a preacher? The preacher's being caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds. Will there be time to run to Christian godly conversation? Well, they also will be running to meet the bridegroom. The shops will be closed. And how many people today are neglecting the filling of their flasks to just follow after the joys of this life? God says to you, you're in the right place today. Fill the flask. Pour my word into you daily. You are in awesome shape. For the wicked stumbles in the darkness, but the righteous, he shines brighter and brighter and brighter until full day, Proverbs 4 says. The future is bright for you. The more you have the word in you, the stronger, the better, the brighter you will be. And when the bridegroom comes, behold, the bridegroom come out to meet him. How quickly did he come, Maggie, when he actually arrives in this story? In his own time, and when he comes fast. So even if the Lord has taken 2,000 years and it seems like he's really, really slow in coming, guess what? When he does come, it will be like a flash of lightning. 1 Corinthians 15 says it'll be like the twinkling of an eye. He'll come like a thief in the night. Bam! Very fast. So you need to be ready. And we read, those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other maidens came, saying, Lord, Lord, also open to us. But he replied, truly I say to you, I do not know you. The groom, in with his bride, in with the maidens, closes the door, and they shall not at that point have any more chance. As we read later in this chapter, they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The marriage feast. So what is the marriage feast again? It's glory. It's new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. God himself who created you, whom you can't see now, you shall see with your own eyes. Crowns of joy will be placed upon your heads, and there will be quiet habitations and peace and strength forevermore. It's joy everlasting. Watch therefore, Jesus says, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And the best way to be wise is to fill your flasks with the word of the gospel. That's what brings us to life in the beginning. It's that Christ has died for your sins, I declare to you today. That he bore all those things to save you. He came the first time to save us from sin, the second time to judge the wicked, and to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Focus on this, that Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. For by grace have you been saved, through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the free gift of God. And then we go out and bear good fruit. And I am sure that he who began this good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And soon, very soon, the joy of the marriage feast shall come, the kingdom that has no end. So I say to you, rejoice, the ransomed of the Lord, says God, shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown the heads of the saints, and all sorrow and sighing shall flee away forever. It's joy forevermore. Therefore, I'll conclude with this. As Jesus said, so also I say to you, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, Will You Have Oil in Your Lamp When He Comes? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen speaking for Pastor Greg LeSeer. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays and we're covering the book of Revelation. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.